Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 23rd of July, 2016, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram and follow me at Willow Gerald Quinn. We also can be rated and reviewed by you, the audience, at iTunes.apple.com on this blazing Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's already 85, about 83 degrees in the DMV. So, you know, one of those Saturdays where you just don't have to be outside, then, you know, don't go outside. It's going to be one of those Saturdays, and Sunday for that matter, as we finally get our first taste of a heat wave down these parts. But hey, you know, July, August, summertime, it's gonna be a little bit of heat. So be safe out there, and you know, stay in the air conditioning or, you know, in a pool somewhere. We begin the program with the NFL, and you know, we are basically still a couple months, you know, a month and a half or so away from football in terms of football that counts. With the opening, the opening night, Thursday night kickoff with Carolina and Denver. And, you know, if you're a franchise, not only can you not wait the season start, you can't wait until training camp starts. Training camp, which starts this week for the majority of the teams, because, you know, these guys just have too much time on their hands. I mean, it's like either to do or say something stupid. Ezekiel Elliott, who knows what happened with that situation. I know that it's not a good look for your father to come out and basically, you know, say that you're innocent. Like that's not a good look at all, as far as I'm concerned. Speak for yourself. Don't have a 21-year-old man, you have your father speaking, basically coming out and making a statement. Certainly one of my pet peeves for athletes, having their parents or siblings or somebody close to them, you know, in their corner come out and speaking for them. You know, you get to that level, you can be able to speak for yourself. But, you know, I'll put that aside for a second because we just don't have all the details of that particular case. Le'Veon Bell, who, by the way, hasn't made any money as far as making, in terms of, you know, getting past his first NFL contract. I don't know what his endorsement situation looked like. But the bottom line is he hasn't gotten that first big payday for an NFL player. I say that he is a guy who is universally regarded as probably, you know, pound for pound the best running back in football. Certainly the most versatile running back in football. This guy, you know, he could be a Marshall Faulk caliber player. The problem is he can't stay on the field. And you're really putting the Pittsburgh Steelers in a position where, you know, the decision's not going to be hard if he keeps going this direction, going this route. You know, of course, he failed another drug test. He failed this one because he didn't show up. Apparently, he didn't show up because of the injury that he had with the MCL last year. Again, there's just no excuse. I mean, you can find ways around that. You know, you have an injury, you can't move. You call the NFL up and say, hey, can somebody come over here? I mean, it's very simple. It's not a difficult thing to work around if you're Le'Veon Bell. If you want to get paid, if you eventually want to get paid, and if you don't want to miss football games leading into next season. So, you know, your NFL team again, you can't wait until training camp starts to get these guys, you know, in pads, to get these, so where you basically can babysit them somewhere around the clock. Because, these guys, you know, off seasons are disasters for NFL teams. And you have Odell Beckham, who clearly hasn't learned anything from last season and still continues to be as talented, as immature as he is talent. And Odell Beckham goes out there and makes comments about Josh Norman, basically that, you know, he made Josh Norman, he's the reason why Josh Norman is relevant. Josh Norman, who in his own right was a Pro Bowl player last year and was an All-Pro player on a team that played in the Super Bowl. And again, Odell Beckham hasn't learned anything because, again, it's all about Odell Beckham. Not about the Giants winning or getting to the playoffs for the first time with Odell Beckham on the roster. It's about Odell Beckham, about us talking about Odell Beckham. These comments were all made in the GQ article this week. And again, went on to say about Norman, the only reason why Norman signed with the Redskins so that he could play against them twice a year. Like, the, you know, $75 million didn't have anything to do with it. And he signed with the Redskins because they gave him by far and away the most money. That's why he signed with the Redskins. And Carolina renounced his franchise tag. That's the only reason why he's a Redskin. So again, offseason comes around, these guys cannot get out of their own way. I mean, it's remarkable in the NFL. They cannot, they just can't handle time off the field, away from the field. They just can't. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Today's headlines coming up and much, much more on this edition of the Cyril Gerald Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, 8 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour, Dennis Green, of course, passed away at the age of 67 yesterday, dying of a cardiac arrest. Dennis Green, who really was, one of the first African-American coaches in the NFL, wasn't the first, but one of the first African-American coaches in the NFL, had a tremendous amount of success with Minnesota, got to a couple of conference championships, made it to the playoffs, eight of his first 10 seasons, won a lot of games in Minnesota, particularly in the regular season. Of course, we'll never forget that 98 game, that 98 season where Minnesota just set the world on fire with Randy Moss and Chris Carter and Randall Cunningham and Robert Smith, one of the great offenses of all time up until that point, an offense that has set the record for points scored. And, one of the Super Bowls that we wished that we could have saw was that Denver-Minnesota Super Bowl. We knew Atlanta. Everybody knew Atlanta had no chance against Denver. But that Denver-Minnesota Super Bowl is one of those Super Bowls that we wish that we could have saw back in the 98 season. on this. Listen, Dennis Green, I'm not going to sit up here and say Dennis Green was a great coach. He wasn't a great coach. But you know, Dennis Green's teams won. You knew what you're going to get. You knew the team was going to score a lot of points. And you knew that the team was going to be a playoff caliber team. And you hire a coach. Of course, you want to win a Super Bowl. Of course, you want to be Bill Belichick, of course, or Mike Tomlin. I mean, everybody wants to win a Super Bowl, but it says, you know, it speaks of it's hard. It is difficult. Almost, it's very hard to win in the NFL just to get to the playoffs. It's not like the NBA. It's not like the NHL. You know, we've seen franchises, Atlanta Falcons, struggle to have over the course of their franchise's history, struggle to get to the playoffs in back-to-back years. So I think Dennis Green was probably a little bit underrated and underappreciated the tenure that he had in Minnesota. And remember, Dennis Green came from college. Now, he had some NFL, you know, he came from a college program where, you know, he didn't set the world on fire in college. Excuse me, he didn't come from Stanford. But he also coached at Stanford. So he was all over the place as far as coaching. And he coached at a number of stops. Had a number of smaller NFL jobs that, you know, paid his dues just like most guys have to pay their dues to get to a head coaching job. But again, I think Dennis Green's teams, you always knew what you were going to get from Dennis Green's teams. Again, he got to Arizona, did not have it as successful of a 10-year, didn't have a quarterback with those teams. Drafted Larry Fitzgerald. And, I think they made the playoffs maybe once in Arizona, one time over the course of his Arizona tenure, maybe once. I may not have never made the playoffs in Arizona. But I thought underrated as a coach as far as what he did in Minnesota and also the coaches that came under him, his coaching tree. And you talk about a guy like Tony Dungy, who went on to win a Super Bowl. So again, Dennis Green passes away at the age of 67. San Francisco Giants have lost six straight games. This is news not because the Giants are a very good team, but because they, going into the All-Star break, were playing as well as any team in baseball. And first time, this is the longest losing streak that a team in first place coming out of the All-Star break. 91 Dodgers, I believe, lost seven straight. The thing about baseball and the beauty of baseball is the best team is going to win, lose a third of their games. The worst team is going to win a third of their games. So there are going to be streaks where, you know, they're going to be, you know, you could lose, I mean, you could win 100 games and lose 60. You're going to lose a lot. Unlike most sports, in baseball, you are going to lose a lot. You know, baseball is a sport of failure. You hit 300, people consider that good. That means 70% of the time you made an out. So I wouldn't be too alarmed by this losing streak if I were a Giant fan. That's a championship organization. They're going after either Chapman, like a lot of people, Chapman or Miller. They're going to make a move for one of those guys in their bullpen. To me, without question, they're going to get a bullpen guy of some sort. Right now, the bullpen is a little bit shaky. Starting pitching is fine. We know they can score runs. They don't have that locked down bullpen guy. The bullpen is not what it was in that championship. It's put to you that way. So we'll see what happens with that. But again, Giants have started out the All-Star break losing six straight games, and we'll see if they can turn that around this weekend against the New York Yankees as they dropped game one of the three-game series last night, 3-2, in a sloppy game for the Giants, having three errors, base running mistakes, uncharacteristic for a team that, again, has championship aspirations. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. When we return, taking a stand and crying over spilt milk. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number. Of course, training camps in the NFL are coming up this week. We still have the Hall of Fame game. It's still 2 weeks off, 2 weeks away. Again, NFL teams cannot get these players in soon enough. They just can't. It just can't happen soon enough in regards to the comments and in regards to the off the field. The off-the-field stuff that's going on. USA, of course, debuted last night, its first exhibition game against Argentina. And to nobody's surprise, had no trouble with Argentina. Again, just, you have to give Gary Colangelo and Mychicheski all the credit in the world because it did not always look like this. It was not long ago where, the team had just as much talent in 2004 with the likes of LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and, guys of that nature on the team. I believe Tim Duncan was on that team. And they couldn't, Larry Brown coached the team. And they, lost to Argentina. And again, finished with a bronze medal. And when LeBron James called it, his words, a shit show. You get Jerry Colangelo, you get a Mychicheski to put together a program, and now there's so many talented players in the U.S. pool that they don't even have to have the best players in the world. I mean, in the world to run away with a gold medal and because they're just light. I mean, they're just heads and shoulders above these teams. So now the Olympics will be like exhibitions when it comes, when they get down to Rio. They don't have Russell Westbrook. They don't have LeBron James. You have no Steph Curry. There are a number of guys who either chose not to play in the Olympics. But frankly, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're so deep. The roster is so deep and so much versatility that these other teams around the world just can't compete. And last night again, USA just toyed with Argentina. Absolutely toyed with them. There was only 2 minutes, and I was curious about this. You only had 2 minutes in where you had Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson on the floor at the same time. So was kind of looking forward to seeing them together play, those three play together. But again, with the wealth of talent you have on those rosters, on the particular rosters, you're not going to see too much. You're not going to get a full preview of Golden State. Plus, you have no Steph Curry anyway. How would you feel if you were Harrison Barnes? Harrison Barnes, who I feel like shouldn't be on the team to begin with, but you're on a team with not only with your ex teammates in terms of Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, but you're on a team with a guy in essence who's going to replace you in Kevin Durant. Now Harrison Barnes again shouldn't be complaining to anybody. He's making roughly close to $25 million a year. So he's not shedding any tears, but that must be a strange dynamic to be on the team, you know, to be playing, you know, you lose a championship, you're considered to be the GOAT of the series, you know, along with Curry, along with Steph Curry. But you, I mean, you were considered to be just the worst player in the series, and by far the worst player in the series in terms of anybody who's receiving any significant playing time. And you're again, you're on the team with, you know, you're on a team with Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Kevin Durant. And we all know that, he's not going to play a lot. He's just not. Like, that roster is too loaded. So, interesting time for one Harrison Barnes. But again, USA cruising to a 37-point win over Argentina. They will play again on Sunday. Next week, they have a game at Oracle, so Golden State fans will have a chance to get us somewhat of a preview of what it will look like for them this year with the big four Steph Curry. 347-215-6180 is your call number. NFL, you know, and this one I'm not going to put on the players, and I'm not going to put on the NFL offseason, but NFL decided to conduct their own investigation of Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, James Harrison, and Mike Neal. Now, this is based on the documentary that came out around during the time of the Super Bowl with Al Jazeera report, which also featured Peyton Manning, but, you know, NFL really doesn't care too much about him at this point because he's retired. Now, keep this in mind. James Harrison, Clay Matthews, and Julius Peppers all were former Defensive Player of the Year or Defensive Player of the Year award winners. Former Defensive Player of the Year award winners. Those three easily could end up in the Hall of Fame one day. Mike Neal, solid player for the Packers. Not great, solid player. No steroid ties, no PED ties, nothing, no off-the-field controversy, nothing to that nature. James Harrison has said some things about their commissioner. Okay. So you want to run wild with that as far as a conspiracy theory, be my guest. My point is, this does not happen in baseball. And you want to say why it doesn't happen in baseball? The union. How could it, and this tells you how weak the NFL union is, the players union is. How do you allow the NFL to investigate three prominent players and one Super Bowl champion, all in Mike Neal, over a report that, you know, let's be honest, when it came out, did not have a lot of credibility behind it. Like, how do you allow that if you're the NFL, if you're the NFLPA? Over guys who have, again, you know, we're not talking about guys who with reputation for steroids, PEDs. Again, nothing has been proven whatsoever. Nothing. Yet the NFL is forcing them to interview. Again, if this were baseball, this would never, not in a thousand years, happen in the baseball union. It just we wouldn't be talking about the story right now. Three four seven 215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, 25 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour. Of course, we continue to monitor what's going on off the field and outside of the world of sports. Of course, with what's going on, you just don't want to read the news anymore at this point. All you want to do is pay attention to sports because, the real world's been just crazy right now. And, I give a lot of credit to what the WNBA players are doing as far as their protests, as far as how they've gone about dealing with Black Lives Matter, not only through the T-shirts that they wore, but by refusing to speak of, to even talk about basketball, instead of choosing to talk about what's going on in the real world, what's going on with the police, what's going on out, what's really important. Unfortunately, they're not being supported by the right people. WNBA fined three teams and a couple of players for wearing shirts that of course supported the Black Lives Matter. The league didn't come out and say that. The league came out and said that the uniforms violated, a technicality, something that, something that was just ridiculous. And to me, if you're the WNBA, first of all, you don't have to worry about losing sponsors because you don't have that many sponsors to lose, number one. All right. You are a women's basketball league. For since I've been on this earth and can recollect, I've heard nothing but, equal rights for women, equal pay for women, double standards against women, things of that nature in regards to women fighting for their place in this world. So with all that being said, why would you fine your own players if you're the WNBA? The NBA's, Adam Silver is quickly developing into one of the top commissioners in all of sports because he gets it. Either to me, when you're in a position of leadership, either you get it or you don't. Like, you don't need a PhD. You don't need, sometimes you just need some common sense. Either you get it or you don't. Lisa Borders, the president of the WNBA, clearly doesn't get it. Because to not support your players with this issue, with this situation, and to basically say, hey, let's, deal with this off the court, to me, not only shows a lack of respect for the issue, but it shows a lack of respect for your players. By the way, which the league is 90% Black. Okay. The second part is, last week at the ESPYs, or the week before last at the ESPYs, you heard Carmelo Anthony come out and basically call on athletes to speak out about social issues. Well, now Carmelo, along with Dwayne Wade, along with Chris Paul, to a lesser extent, along with LeBron James, has a chance to do something, not just say something, but do something in terms of paying the fines of these players in the WNBA. Pay the fines. If it costs you, $200-$300, fork it out. Because now you have a chance to do something. Forget about just speaking out. You have a chance to put action into your words, or turn words into action. Like, I don't hear any more talking. What's the next step? But again, if you're the WNBA, like, you got to support your players. I mean, my goodness, to find them. I mean, geez. Like I said, you don't have to worry about losing sponsors. You don't have that many. I mean, nobody, the league, listen, that league, I mean, we've seen over the course of the history of the league in 20 years, teams, championship teams, you know, have to fold up because of financial issues. There are at least, you know, three or four defunct franchises in the WNBA. But again, Carmelo Anthony and company have a chance now to make a impact. Are they willing to make the sacrifice or not? We'll see, you know, as time goes on. 347-215-6180 is call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. A little bit of news and pop culture, not too much, but of course, Power, which will have its second episode of season 3 tomorrow night on Sunday night at 9 p.m. going up against Night of, and also Ray Donovan. Gets picked up for seasons 4 and 5. They set records, stars records, that is, for most viewers, 2.26 million viewers, and that is almost triple their viewership from the first season premiere, and more than double of that in the second season premiere. So again, the show has completely just taken off. I expect their ratings to continue to go up. As you know, maybe, you know, to continue to stay at around that range, that 2 million range or so. And it's one thing to get picked up for one season, but to get it picked up for two extra seasons, it shows you that it's absolutely become the signature show of that network without question. And again, you're gonna have Power for at least another two seasons. It's gonna be very interesting to see how they navigate these main characters, the four major characters that they have on the show. I said it last week, and I'll continue to say it. To me, one of them has got to go. But, you know, when Tasha, out of that ghost, Tasha, Tommy, and I'm leaving out one, Angela, out of that mix, I think one of those characters has got to go in order for the show to move on, in order for the show to keep up. And just serve story, and not be a soap opera. But we'll see what happens. Because right now they're in a good place, as far as the writing goes. You don't want that show to turn into Empire, where you're just keeping characters on for the sake of keeping characters on. So it'll be very interesting to see what direction they're going. Do they get so commercial to where they, you know, they start moving plots up and things start speeding up, or will they go in more of the Breaking Bad, Walking by Wire, wire direction in terms of not serving character but serving story? Again, money has a way, and you know, again, 50 Cent is producing the show, so keep that in mind. So if it means towards a more of a commercial appeal, then you'll certainly know why that is. But right now, There's no denying the popularity of the show and the growth of the show from season one to two, now two to three, has been just incredible. Towards Tomorrow Night, Survivor's Remorse will debut, not debut, but have a season debut for season three of that show. Supposedly, and again, I've read some couple of reviews on it that this is, this is going to be their best season. Of course, the Mike Epps character Mike Epps' character is not going to return for the season. I've read that he probably, of course, they had some contracts, kind of contract situation. He asked, anybody that's come up with that show knows this, that he asked for more money, and they denied it because he, denied it. He wasn't considered to be the star of the show, but I thought he was the best one. I thought he's by far the best, the most watchable on the show as far as he's, comedy, and as far as some of the, things that he was doing on the show. I think that he probably did deserve the most money. But that show business, again, from the reviews that I've been reading about the show, that this is its strongest season. Now we'll see what happens with no Mike Epps, who to me made the show. I mean, Mike Epps, actually, every time he was in a scene, he destroys it. He's just naturally funny. He's naturally funny guy. But we'll see how they move forward with the writing. Of course, LeBron James, who everything he touches turns to gold at this point, coming off a championship and now producing this show, and they moved this show to Sunday nights, to Sunday nights, along with Power. So, but the good thing for them is they're not competing. You look at the 10 o'clock range, competition is not as heavy on 10 o'clock Sundays as it is at 9 o'clock on Sundays. So we'll see what happens with their numbers and see if it lives up to some of the reviews that I've heard or read about and read about. Rillo's rant of the week. There are a number of candidates for this, but I have to go up towards Beantown, and again, this is going to be an ongoing story for the NBA for the rest of the sports calendar year, and well into the NBA season with Kevin Durant signed with Golden State Warriors. But so the latest to come out of that was apparently the Boston Celtics gave Kevin Durant their game plan as far as how they defended Golden State. Last season, Boston, of course, beat Golden State ended Golden State's home winning streak, which was an NBA record, NBA record for most home consecutive home wins. And apparently, Jay Crowder is not happy that Durant didn't sign, based on the fact that they gave Durant apparently the all the family secrets, and that they divulged. Game plan information to Durant during over the course of that meeting for whatever reason. I don't understand how showing Kevin Durant how we defended Golden State and how we defended him would help draw him to sign with Boston. Like, I don't understand how in any stretch of imagination how that would help you, want a player to come to your city based on that. And not strictly based on that, but that why that would even be a part of your presentation. I don't understand it. I get Tom Brady being there, being at the presentation. Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge, selling, the 16 championships. I get that. I don't get how, again, talking about the game plan from last year, how that draws a player, a free agent. Like, Kevin Durant probably at that point wanted to go to sleep. And again, I know Kevin Durant was all about talking about basketball. I understand that. He wasn't concerned about the glamour and the glitz and the endorsements. He was concerned about basketball. It's just cool. I just want to hoop. But you can take that too far. Like you shouldn't. I hope that they would not watch the film or breaking down film. I mean, that's the next thing that's gonna come out. But again, Jay Crowder, Jameson Crowder is not happy. Not Jameson, but Jay Crowder again, apparently not happy about Kevin Durant, about not signing, them not getting Kevin Durant. So, you know, we'll see what happens when Boston when Boston and Golden State meets up, you know, meets up in the twice in the regular season. Have a feeling that they won't be meeting in the finals. So who knows? You know, a LeBron James ankle twist or something like that. Boston certainly is could be a solid number two or three in the Eastern Conference, but more than likely they're not going to be in the finals against the likes of Golden State or whoever comes out of the West. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back to wrap up the program. After the 10 o'clock hour on this edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, we began the program, of course, talking about the NFL. And again, NFL teams cannot, and franchises cannot wait till training camp start. Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Odell Beckham Jr., just a few of the NFL names that are currently in the news. You know about the Ezekiel Elliott situation. Apparently, ex-girlfriend or ex, you know, companion or whoever the young lady was, posted pictures on Instagram of him, you know, pictures that, you know, showed abuse, physical, you know, showed abuse on her legs, arms. She has since deleted the pictures, and there hasn't been any charges filed. You know, Elliot, his father has come out, made a statement saying he's totally innocent of these charges. Ezekiel Elliott came out and said that, you know, this never happened, and the NFL, of course, is going to be looking into it. They're not going to have another Ray Rice type situation. They're going to, you know, jump ahead, you know, go, you know, jump ahead and try to, you know, go move forward with their investigation of it. But again, you know, you're Dallas Cowboys, again, typical Cowboys. Rookie, whether it's a rookie player or a veteran, the Cowboys seem to draw this kind of attention to their franchise. Again, I don't want to indict, or you know, I don't want to throw Ezekiel Elliott, you know, out, you know, under the bus, you know, of course, because we don't know all the details of the situation. But again, this seems to happen a lot with the Dallas Cowboy organization over the course of their history. The other running back who is struggling, to say the least, is Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, again, pound for pound, could be considered the best running back in football. Just cannot, is the definition of can't get right, as he failed another drug test because he failed another test. This did not show up, which counts as a failed drug test. This is his fourth. If his appeal doesn't go through, if his appeal fails, he will have a four-game suspension to start off the year. Again, this is a guy either through suspension or injury has not been able to stay on the field for the better part of his career. Again, we know how talented he is when he's on the field. He had a tremendous 2014 season, but he's a guy who needs to get his act together, because he could be the highest paid running back. He should be the highest paid running back by virtue of his talent. But if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you are no way, no how signing him to a long-term deal anytime soon until he shows that he can get, you know, basically his head out of, you know, his head out of the clouds and get on the football field, you know, especially at a position like running back. So, Le'Veon Bell, Running backs, you have a short lifespan. NFL players in general have a short lifespan. Running backs even shorter. Your NFL running back, you want to get paid immediately. You know what? Like you want to get paid as soon as you're eligible to get paid a big time contract. And this guy would have been eligible to get paid a major contract if he, you know, if he kept if he had he kept his nose clean. But apparently, he's going to be one of these guys that you know we could be looking back 5, 10 years from now saying, you know. The best, you know, what could have been in terms of a possible Hall of Fame career or a possible All-Pro type career. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. We have a couple podcasts coming up next week, so stay tuned for that. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/CyrilJoaquin. Look for the post on Facebook, Twitter, as well as Instagram. Have a great rest of the weekend. So long.